We are in Parashat Korach. We're going to be reading from the Noam Elimelech. And needless to say that the main theme of this parasha is the argument, the disagreement of Korach. But in between the lines, there's a lot of messages. And we started explaining yesterday one of the reasons why the parashar starts with the word Vayikach Korach. Then Korach took. It would make much more sense to use a different word. And we mentioned yesterday that Korach was a politician. He wanted to bring Moshe down from the government. He wanted to take him down. He didn't like him. He was jealous and so forth. And he couldn't do it by himself. So what's the best way of doing it? Is gather a lot of people with him. So he got friends and families and colleagues. And that's why he says, Vayikach Korach. And he started taking with him other people. And yesterday we gave one explanation why it says Vayikach. Because really it would make sense that he would say something more. He gathered, he I don't know necessarily the words in English, but in Hebrew will be other words that are more appropriate for gathering people with him. But nevertheless, it says the word Vayikach Korach. So now let's see what he has to say about this. So it says, Ve'esh lefaresh od bedech acher Vayikach Korach. Another way to explain why it says Vayikach and he took. Deita ba-midrash, it says in the midrash, Lama Torat Hashem temima. Why is the Torah called Temima? Temima is something that is innocent and whole. So it answers Bishvil shi meshivat nafesh, because it's there's two ways, and there's much more, but two ways to explain this verse and to interpret it. But meshivat nafesh, one way lehashiv is means to return. So a person that goes off the track, the Torah is able to bring the person back on the track. This is one explanation of meshivat nafesh. Meshiva means it returns, and nafesh is my soul. Another word of interpreting meshivat nafesh, lishvot, is to trap. And also in a positive way, to charm. If I want to charm a lady, and I want to win her heart, in Hebrew you would say lishvot et liba, to capture and to trap her heart, so to say. It's a positive way of expressing, it's not a negative thing. So another way that the Torah is called meshivat nafesh, because it's able to charm you and capture your heart and make you fall in love with the Torah. So the Midrash again asks these questions. Why is the Torah of Hashem is called Temima? Temima is innocent and whole. Because it's a meshivat nafesh. It's able to capture the heart or to bring the soul and to bring the soul back. V'hine Midrash hu mufla hape v'fele. He says the Midrash is a great wonder. We sometimes look at the Midrash as a history book, because a lot of the information that we have are from the Midrash, and the Midrash is a word of mouth type of a history that somebody told it to somebody else, and they told it, and it's kind of like a lot of it is historical events. But nevertheless, in the Midrash, there's much more than just historical events. And he says here that the Midrash mufla hapele afleva pele, it has wonders and wonders in it. Ve'nireh ki ha-mekubalim katvu שקורח היה גלגול של קין. We know that the sages of Kabbalah, the Mekubalim, they wrote in the holy books that Korach was an incarnation of Cain. Remember Cain, the first one who applied jealousy. So Korach had to come back. Cain came back in Korach. לכך נאבד על ידי פתיחת הארץ. That's why he lost his life by the land opening up. Why is this a appropriate punishment? כדי לתקן אשר פצתה האדמה את פיה לקחת דמי הבל אחיו. If you remember, Cain was jealous of Abel. There's different interpretations and explanation why he was jealous. I mean, you would think that one out of seven citizens of this planet wouldn't have an issue. There was Adam, there was Chava, and there were five kids. That's the whole thing. There was Cain, who was born with a twin girl, and Hevel, that was born with two twin girls. So seven people, the whole planet is seven people. The social security was zero, one, two, three, and four, and five, and six. That's or maybe one to seven. What do you have to be jealous of? The whole planet is yours. But nevertheless, as one opinion says, Cain was jealous because he got one sister and Hevel got two. So there's always a fight over women. And then he was not happy with, you know, he got half of the planet, Hevel got the other half of the planet. He wasn't happy with his portion. Your portion in the planet looks better than mine. So there's different interpretations. Why was he jealous of him? Of course, the pshat that Kadosh Baruch Hu turned to Hevel's offering and not to his. But nevertheless, Cain didn't like the situation, took a dagger or some type of a sharp object, and he stabbed Hevel 300 times. And why 300 times? Because he didn't know where the soul was going to come out from. He knew the soul has to come out from somewhere, so he was stabbing him till he was waiting for the soul to come out. Now, of course, needless to say, what a puddle of blood was on the floor. And the Torah says that the ground opened its mouth to swallow the blood of Hevel, your brother. So now when he came back as an incarnation into Korach, then he got lost, he died in the same way that the ground opened its mouth and swallowed him. And this is one of the reasons why Cain had to get incarnated in Korach for that sake, so he can get another opportunity to do a tikkun. Here, we'll put you through another challenge. We'll put you through the same challenge that somebody else from the family, after all, Korach and Moshe were first cousins, and Korach was very jealous. How come he gets to be the king? How come he gets all their honor and their respect and so forth? So, Mishamayim, they said, okay, you failed first time with jealousy. Let's give you the same challenge. We'll see if this time you learn from your mistakes. Obviously, he didn't learn from his mistakes. And the result was, again, the ground opened his mouth and swallowed him. Which this is just enough for us to learn how severe jealousy is. And that the result, we might not feel it or see it physically. But nevertheless, the spiritual act of the spiritual reaction or the result of jealousy is equivalent to the ground opening. Your world caves underneath you. So people who apply jealousy, or they can't control their jealousy, what happens is if you follow it, you'll see that it's 100%, it's a guarantee. Whether it takes a year or two or 10 years, at some point that person's life is like their ground is being pulled underneath them and life starting to caving down. Whether they lose their business, their property, their money, their health, marriages, then I'm talking about somebody who's jealous and for 2-3 minutes and then they calm themselves down. I'm talking about somebody who's jealous, the jealousy boils in them to a point that they go cuckoo. And then they start bad-mouthing and stealing and lying and conniving and twisting and manipulating because of the jealousy. And the result is the ground gets pulled under their feet. And I've seen it not 100 times and not 200 times. So many times the people that's how they behave from jealousy, they dig their own hole and life starts falling apart. But nevertheless, we see that Cain had to come back. Hashem is so kind and generous and merciful. Says, okay, you made a mistake first time. Let me give you the same challenge. Let's see if you learn something. So he had to come back to rectify it. Now comes a big question. V'lama lo tiken Cain az be'atzmo et ha'davar hazeh? Why didn't then Cain correct it? He didn't live for 3 years. He lived for hundreds of years. You saw already what you did. He was cursed for 7 generations. Why then you didn't do tshuva? Right? Lama lo tiken Cain az be'atzmo ze ha'davar bo'to ha'pam? Why didn't he do a tikkun then? Ela? שברא השם יתברך ברוך הוא בגלגולים כדי שיהיה תורתו שלמה. Rather, לקדוש ברוך הוא created what's called incarnations, גלגולים. Incarnations is not really the most precise word, because a gilgul in Hebrew is when you roll over. Some people call it a roly-poly or whatever other names they have, but it's really a rolling over. You put your head between your legs and you roll over. This is a gilgul, and that's what happens to the neshama. I mean, we're spending now for the last few weeks already, every night, we're learning in the Zohar about the gilgulim, about the incarnations. Every Tuesday we learn here the gates of reincarnation. It's a big, big thing. But nevertheless, the Kadosh Baruch Hu created these gilgulim, these incarnations, כדי שיהיה תורתו שלמה, in order for the Torah to be whole, to be complete. שאם לא כן היה חסר פרשה, פרשת ויקח כוח בתורה. Because if the Kadosh Baruch Hu would not create incarnations, you know what would be the result? Would be missing one parasha in the Torah. There wouldn't be parashat Korach, because there wouldn't be Korach. So how would what are we going to do? Have a gap in the Torah? Take a week break. Can you imagine how they announce now on the email groups, the WhatsApp groups, today, this week, there's no parasha. We're having a break. Don't come to shul on Shabbat. So there's a break this week. So Hashem said, no, we can't have a missing parasha. I have to create incarnation. That way we bring Korach back. And therefore we have a good parasha. ובזה דברי המדרש הם הממעברים היטב למה תורת השם תמימן. Now with that I can understand why the words of the Midrash are saying that the Torah of Hashem is called temima, whole and innocent and complete. בשביל שהיא משיבת נפש, because the Torah is able to bring back a nefesh. A person dies, the Torah is so unique, it's able to bring the nefesh back into this world. Can you imagine a person dies, Hashem, hop, and the person comes back again. Person dies, hop, comes back again. The Torah has the power of bringing a soul back to life. We do know about certain Tanaim, sages, that they knew how to revive people from the dead. And we know about a couple of tens of thousands, if not millions of cases, in the last couple of decades of people who died, clinically, physically died, and then came back. So, I mean, I'm one of them. This is, and lately it's becoming very popular. You know, every time I go to lectures, people tell me, how can I get an near-death experience? I also want one. Seems very, very good, and seems like it's, people think it's easy to, people say, oh, I wish I was you, you know, you saw Hashem, and it's easy. So I can give you my Yetzirah if you want any day. We'll switch. If you want, we'll do a deal, you can take my Yetzirah. But nevertheless, many people, what? No, I believe mine is a world champion commando Yetzirah. But nevertheless, a lot of people come and tell me, how can I get a near-death experience? I mean, so I tell them, it's very easy. Just put your hand in the socket and, you know, you'll start breakdancing a little bit and hopefully that will do the job. But nevertheless, don't do it in front of a train because the train will break you to pieces. So something that it's easy to come back. So like, don't jump from the 30th floor. I mean, there's not going to be much left there. There's not going to be somebody coming back from that. But nevertheless, with all the jokes aside, we see the Torah has power to bring back a soul. Now, I said before, when the Midrash says, Torah Hashem temima, ki meshivat nafesh, the Torah is simple and whole and innocent, because it's able, I gave two interpretations. It's able to capture a nefesh, meshivat nafesh, it's able to like charm and to capture it, but it's also able to bring somebody back, lehashiv. Lashiv, it means to bring somebody back, to return. Now, like we know of a certain mitzvah that we have, is called Hashavat Aveda. What does it mean? Lehashavat, Hashavat, Lashiv, is to bring back. So how many times you have a soul goes off the path and the Torah is able to pull somebody back? But here we're getting an even, another third interpretation, that it's able to bring back a soul that left the world. The soul already left the world, it already said goodbye, checked out, and the Torah has the ability to bring the soul back. This is what it means when it says, "Bishvil she meshivat nafesh." It's bringing a soul back. meaning perush בשביל שהקדוש ברוך הוא ברא העולם הקדוש ברוך הוא created the world על ידי גלגולים הקדוש ברוך הוא created the world that there should be this whole system of incarnations of גלגולים of rolling over everybody gets incarnated this is one way of explaining it another way of explaining the vaikach korach If you remember, I hope you do, it says, Vayikach Korach, Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kehat, Ben Levi. Four generations, it says. Why? I know who he is, and even if you want to tell me his last name, or tell me the father. Why are you telling me the father, the grandfather, and the great-grandfather? So, Baruch Hashem, it forgot, it skipped one name. Because Korach, it says Ben Yitzhar, his father was Yitzhar, who was actually a tzaddik, and his father was Kehat, And his father was Levi. I mean, it goes all the way up to Levi. But Baruch Hashem, it skipped one generation, and it's not saying Ben Yaakov. Levi is the son of Yaakov. And it says, Lo Hizkir Ben Yaakov. It didn't say that he's that Levi is the son of Yaakov. Shebikesh Yaakov. Yaakov says, please don't mention my name here. I don't need this in my record. I have enough. I don't need, don't please don't mention that Levi is my son. Maybe they'll think it's somebody, some other Levi. But Yaakov actually asked to be, not to be mentioned here. Ve'ichan nizkar shmo shel Korach b'itiachsam al ha'duchan. Where was the name of Korach named or mentioned when they when it's referring to the duchan? Duchan. There's many ways of interpreting duchan, but duchan is like a counter. But also. The Kohanim and the Levim used to go up on the Duchan. You know, even today in Shul, the, what they call, I think, in Ashkenaz, a Shtender, this is called a Duchan. When somebody goes up to the Omed, this is called a Duchan too. But nevertheless, he's asking, when is the Korach mentioned there? V'yesh ledakdek al kushiyot Rashi Zal. Now let's see what Rashi is asking here. V'heichan, where... And etc. He's asking the question Rashi where. We don't have to read now the whole Rashi. But it says, Me haya kashe im lo haya nizkar shmo b'shum makom. Why wouldn't he's Korach is a wicked person. Why do we have to mention his name? Bechlal. Like we sometimes we say a certain individual, what do we say? Imach shmo. His name should be erased when we mention certain individuals. Rashi says, why do you have to mention Korach's name again? He wasn't, it's not a pride to the nation. This is what Rashi is asking. Kivan bekushiyato lehorot lanu davar gadol haya kashe. When Rashi is asking this question, he's wanting to show us something very big. That, and not only that, something very great that was obviously hard for Rashi to understand. Ba'pasuk ma lanu leichso ben yitzhar. If you're asking me, why are we mentioning the name of Korach in other places? Because whether it's embarrassing, maybe he is not a pride to the nation, then why is it also mentioning that his lineage and his relations to Yitzhar? After all, Yitzhar was a tzaddik. Why are you mentioning him? Just say Korach. Nevertheless, it says, Ela perusho hu shelakach et hayichus hazot lemachlakto vechalak aleh mechamat yichuso. Korach took this, the lineage, the fact that he's the son of Yitzhar, and he used that for his argument by saying, "What? I'm not different than you, we're the family, we're cousins. I'm the son of Yitzhar, in case you don't recognize me, maybe he was afraid they're not going to recognize, they're going to tell him, listen, we don't know you. Sometimes people come to claim something, money usually, and the other person says, I don't know who you are. I mean, you don't know who I am. I'm your brother. No, I don't know who you are. So maybe he was afraid. Moshe is going to tell him, listen, I don't know who you are. You look familiar, but I don't know you. So it says, I'm Korach, the son of Yitzhar. So don't have any mistakes here. And the son of Kehat. We're cousins. We're family. So he used that for his argument. And not only that, he took this to his argument in order to disagree with him. V'chalak alem. Michamat Yichuso. And he disagreed with them and he argued with them because of his Yichus, his lineage. But ולא זכר את יחוס של יעקב במחלקתו שביקש. But he didn't mention Yaakov in his argument, like Yaakov requested. ושורש הדבר שזכות אבות הוא דבר גדול. why Yaakov didn't want to be mentioned here, there is a concept that is called Zchut Avot, the merit coming from our fathers. Many times you have a miracle in your life and people say, oh, must have a Zchut Avot. Maybe a great-great-grandfather was a great tzaddik and it stands to you as a merit. Yaakov says, please cut me out here. I don't want him to use any of my merits here. Because maybe, chas v'shalom, somebody will come and say, wait a minute, this is the great-great-grandson of Yaakov Avinu. Maybe, how are you saying in the streets? It cuts him some slack. Let him go. It's the great-great-grandson. So Yaakov says, no, I don't want him to use my name. I don't want any connection here. If he needs to get punished, let him get punished. So we know that there is a concept of Zchut Avot, and it says this is the root here. Zchut Avot hu davar gadol, it's a great thing, ve'omedet lo la'adam b'sha'a shu rotze la'avod et Hashem. When I want to serve Hashem, you know 50 to 80% of the time what allows me to serve Hashem? Me, I'm talking about me, no, I'm talking about somebody else. Me, you, anywhere, all of us, is a Zchut Avot. Because we don't have enough Zchut, maybe we do, I shouldn't say that. But if I don't have enough zchuyot, what will allow me to serve Hashem? I told you already many times, the fact that you wake up in the morning and you come to shul is not because, I would say a portion of it is because you want to, but the majority is because they allow you. Because if they wouldn't allow you from Shamayim, you would sleep until 11. You will hit the snooze button and stay to sleep. So of course, we have the desire and the will. But everything has to be approved from above. The Talmud says, "En adam nokef etzba milemata al shemachrizim alav milemala." Person doesn't even move a finger down in this world before they announce it in the world above. So if from a world above they allow you to participate in the prayer, or they allow you to put filin on, then you apply your desire and together you're able to make it. But why would they allow you to do that? If you have your own mitzvot and your own merit, good. But sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have a bad day and we lie a lot and we say Lashon Hara and many other things that cause us to lose our status. So it says here, the fact that I have a Zchut Avot is what gives me credit to serve Hashem. This is a big deal. We shouldn't take that for granted. The fact that we enjoy or we want to put tefillin on is because they allow us to put that. I know thousands of men that they have tefillin, beautiful tefillin in their cupboard, they don't put it. They have a yetzer hara and they don't put their tefillin on. Or they put it at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, chik-chak, say shma, brut, brut, 3.5 minutes, take it in, take it out, up, in and out. That's not how you put tefillin on. And it's not because they're evil or wicked. Because from Shamayim, there's no credit here. They don't allow them. So it says here that the Zchut Avot is the root for everything. That the merit of the fathers allows us to serve Hashem. Shiyeh lo sayata min hashamayim. That the Zchut Avot, the merit of my fathers, allows me to get assistance from the heavens. Most of the time I'm able to fight my Yetzirah is because there's sayata d'shmaya. Sayata d'shmaya, you know how everybody writes on the papers, BH or BSD, or in Hebrew they write basad. It will be interesting to do a survey and go to the streets and ask people what basad means, the acronym. But nevertheless, it means Besayata Dishmaya, with the help from above, the help from the heavens. Or BH stands for Baruch Hashem or Bezrat Hashem, whatever it is. But nevertheless, we can't do anything without help from above. I told you already once a story that some people, they have a custom during Havdalah or doing Melaveh Malka to sing a certain song. We don't sing the song, rather we say it in Havdalah. Each one has their own customs. But if you remember, if you join us once for Havdalah, you see that there's a certain paragraph that I read and everybody in the congregation answers Amen. So what do we read there? We're asking Hashem to open us different gates. And we say, Shari Parnasa, everybody answers, Amen. Shari Ava, Amen. Shari Yirat Shamayim, Amen. All these gates of everything, gates of livelihood and health and so forth. So, one time, some people sing that song, by the way, in Melaveh Malka. Each one has their own minhagim, their own customs. But nevertheless, one time, the Baal Shem Tov was sitting with his students, and they were singing this song. And he asked them, as a challenging question, What do you think is the most important gate that needs to be opened for us in Shamayim on Motzei Shabbat? So one person raised their hand and says, Master, my Rebbe, I want to answer. Okay, go ahead. Please answer. So he says, Sha'arei Tshuva, the gates of Tshuva. Baal Shem Tov says, it's a good gate, but no, that's not the right answer. And the student says, yeah, but you know, without Tshuva, what would we do without Tshuva? We would be lost in this world. You must have Tshuva. Baal Shem Tov says, yeah, it's a good gate, no doubt, but this is not what I'm talking about. This is not the most important gate. Okay, the second student says, may I answer? Yes, what is your answer? He says, Sha'arei Parnasa, livelihood, my Parnasa, my money. No, he says, why? But without money, what are you going to do in this world without money? No. Anyways, and they go one by one. I don't want to say the whole story in length. I say the story in the short version. One student says the gates of love. One says the gates of Yirat Shamayim. Everybody has what to answer, and they come with their explanation why. The Baal Shem Tov says no. Okay, at some point they ran out of students. There were more gates than students. But nevertheless, his daughter was sitting with him. So he turned to his daughter and says to his young daughter, maybe you can answer. So she says, the most important gate to open in Shamayim is the gates of Sayata Deshmaya, is hell from above. And he says, yes, my little girl, that is the most important gate. Because without Sayata Deshmaya, you can't move. Without hell from above, you are a nothing. You cannot move, you can breathe, you can look, you can talk, you can do nothing. So same thing here. He says here that in order for me to do anything in this world, I must have Zchut Avot. And even if it goes all the way back to Avraham Avinu is also my father. But nevertheless, I have to have Zchut Avot to allow me to serve Hashem. And needless to say that nothing can happen here without Sayata Dishmaya, without help from above. And why? Why do I need help from above? La'asot ha-mitzvot b'shlemot, in order to fulfill the mitzvot, but in the most perfect and most refined way. וזאת אינה אלא כשלא לקח מעלת הייחוס לצד אחר, אזי בוודאי עומד לו עבודת הבורא. And here, even if I don't take the advantage of my ייחוס, my lineage, and one, if I take it for serving Hashem, then it applies well. I can come and say to Hashem, please, in the merit of my fathers. You know, we say that three times a day when we pray. Well, how do you start Tefillat Shmona Esrei? Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Why am I saying that? To say, I'm coming in the name of my fathers. I don't have a merit to stand in front of Hashem. When we're praying, we don't even realize what's going on. Most people, I don't know, their mind is somewhere else. But nevertheless, I'm coming now in front of Hashem. Hashem, Sefatai Tiftach, open my mouth. And Fia Kiti Ladecha, my mouth will say praises to you. But I right away start, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, to arouse their zchut, their merit, so my tefillot will be accepted. So when I'm taking my yichus, my lineage, to serve Hashem, good. But what if I'm taking it not to serve Hashem? And that's what Korach did here. He took his lineage, his zchut avot, to use it for something negative. That's why he came and he says, I'm the son of Yitzhar, and he's the son of Kihat, and he's the son of Levi. You know who Levi is? One of the Shvatim. But then Yaakov already stopped it there and says, don't even think to dare to say my name, that you are my great-grandson. But nevertheless, he took his yichus, his lineage, and the merit of his father to use it not to serve Hashem. Zeho sheperesh Rashi velo hizkir ben Yaakov. That's why Rashi says he did not mention that Levi is the son of Yaakov. Vekevan shelo nizkar shmo al hamachloket, since the name of Yaakov was not mentioned in this disagreement, אזי בוודאי נזכר שמו לעבודת הבורא. Then nevertheless, the name was mentioned to serving Hashem. ואיכן נזכר שמו, and when was the name mentioned? הוא מפרש שנזכר שמו על הדוכן. And it says that the name was mentioned on the דוכן, which is the counter or the pillar where one used to pray. But nevertheless, what we see here, something very simple. I mean, we took two explanations here. We'll go back for a second just to recap. The first one, we're talking about the incarnations. How the Kadosh Baruch Hu allows you to come back here to do a rectification. Now, he says, okay, you messed it up first time, you'll come back next time. But there was in between the lines a very profound message. Why come back in our incarnation? Fix it now. Why are you taking a chance now? Coming again in a reincarnation? We're learning now in the Zohar about reincarnation. He started the Ma'amar there in Parashat Mishpatim that it's a worse punishment to come in a reincarnation than to go into Genom. Why you want to take an incarnation? You know what a headache it is? To stand in line now? So for the soul to fall down again into this world and then to go through pregnancy and then through the labor and then through another 70, 80 years in this life with all the hardship of this life and then to also sin again? Yeah, you came to rectify, you did a kitikun here, but you sinned here. And needless to say, it's not easy to come back in this world. But the fact that Hashem made it, that's because He's kind. But why blow up your chance? So this is what we're learning. We're learning simultaneously at night and during the day, Shar Gilgulim and the Zohar Bar Gilgulim, only to bring you to understand that I'm already here, then take advantage of the situation. Don't waste your time. There's a tikkun to do here. Figure out what's your tikkun, apply it, and do it, and finish with it. The second thing that we explain about Vayikach Korach is that don't misuse your credit. If you come to serve Hashem with in the name of your fathers, do it to serve Hashem. And we have to understand here another very deep and profound thing. I have to understand that I'm allowed to serve Hashem because I do have a zchut avot. And it's a big merit for me to even be included in serving Hashem. I should thank Hashem, that's what I do personally. You should do it yourself too, that before you do a mitzvah, before you say the bracha, say with your words to Hashem, thank you for allowing me to put tefillin on. Thank you for allowing me to wear tzitzit. Thank you for allowing me to eat now and to be full and to say Birkat HaMazon. You know what it means, Birkat HaMazon? People don't understand what it means to say Birkat HaMazon. This is a prayer from the Torah. This is the Oraita. People will drive a 30-minute drive to buy the pizza that is mezonot, just not to say Birkat HaMazon. Sometimes you invite somebody to eat. Is this mezonot? No. I'm not so hungry. I'll have an apple. Just sit down and say Birkat HaMazon for 10 minutes. What's your problem? It's almost like me telling you now, listen, I have a $2 billion check for you to pick up. Can you drive 30 minutes to come and pick it up? No, I don't feel like driving now. I'm giving you a $2 billion check. No, it means I'm going to have to stand in line in the bank. And I'm going to be in the bank for 45 minutes. But I'm giving you a $2 billion check. The point is that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you an opportunity to say Birkat HaMazon. It's a bracha, it's a blessing d'oraita, and we brush it off for what? Because I'm lazy? Because it takes me 7.5 minutes to say a few lines? I don't even know what it means to say Birkat HaMazon. Now, if I have such a etzer hara to say Birkat HaMazon, maybe they don't allow me from Shamayim to participate. Maybe they're saying, listen, don't let him bench. Let him put something in his mind so he will say, no, I'll eat the tomato instead of the roll. This is a huge schut that we don't understand what it means. So when before I have the opportunity to say Birkat HaMazon, and I make sure that at least one meal a day I say Birkat HaMazon. How can you go through one day, a whole meal a day, a whole day with when you eat and one of them is not saying Birkat HaMazon? I mean, ve'achalta ve'savata uverachta. This is a tzivui from the Torah, an order from the Torah. You'll spend 3 hours on Facebook, but not 7.5 minutes to say Birkat HaMazon. That's the common sense of a lot of people. So I say a short blessing, a prayer with my words, and I say, Hashem, thank you so much for allowing me now to want to say Birkat HaMazon and to participate, to allow me to use my mouth to say holy words. So we have to understand what a merit it is that we are allowed to participate in fulfilling the mitzvot, and this is in the merit of my forefathers. And for chas v'shalom, don't ever use the credit that you have to go chas v'shalom against Hashem. And I know nobody does it deliberately. I don't think that nobody comes and says, Hashem, in the name of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, I'm going now to cheat in business and I want success. Nobody does that. But nevertheless, even in a very refined way, I need to understand that what allows me to participate in serving Hashem is my zchut avot. And I have to acknowledge that. So next time when you pray Shmona Esrei, when you take a moment and say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, you have to have in your mind, wait a minute, I'm coming now in the merit of my fathers to stand in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes, you know, you have an issue in Misrad HaPnim. Everybody has an issue with Misrad HaPnim. And that's the moment when you wish you knew the guy who sits behind the closed door. Ah, if I only knew somebody that knows him, to get in through the back door. And you know, if you do know that person that can get you through the back door, oh, so and so is my, oh, is my, we're cousins. Oh, you his cousin. Come, come in. So we have to understand that this is, if it works like this in this world, so much more so what it means than I stand in front of Hashem and the entire army of Hashem, Tzva Shamayim, is saying, you know who this man is? That's the great-great-grandson of Avraham Avinu. Ooh, please come in. Sir, I didn't know that you are the son. So I have to remember who are my fathers and definitely not to take any credit to myself. There's a Mishnah in Masechet Avot that it says if you do, if you help the public, if you do avodot zibur, don't take credit for that because zchut avot mesayatam. If I help you now, I can't take credit for that because your zchut avot is allowing me to help you. That's how it works. Now some people take credit. Ooh, I helped him. I got him. I gave him the money. I gave him the job. I took him. I did it for him. Don't ever take credit for that because the person that you helped has zchut avot. And that allowed you to help him. This is a Mamasha Mishnah in Masechet Avot, you can find it. And we have to constantly understand that I'm nobody. I'm running on somebody else's credit. I remember when I was young, I left the army, I wanted to buy a car, I wanted to open a business, I wanted to do a lot of things. And I and my father was, still is, big businessman. I just waltzed into the bank. I didn't even ask him. I just waltzed into the bank. I told him, I'm the son of Mr. Anava. Ooh. They didn't even call to check. They saw the same ID, same name. It says in the ID, the father's name. I walked into the bank in the name of my father. I got a loan to buy a car. I got this. I got credit. So that's how it works. Who's your father? Ooh, that's your father. So, but chas v'shalom, that should not be ever misused or mistreated. And lefech, it has to be done for Avodat Hashem. And needless to say, that with all that said, how important it is to be humble and simple and not to have any jealousy towards anybody else. And chas v'shalom, to see how Korach ended in the ground. And God, only Hashem knows if he was able to do tshuva. Probably not. And we know his sons made tshuva. But and a few others got somehow saved, like we learned the other day with On. That his wife made him drunk and he stayed in the tent. But nevertheless, this should hopefully add a little bit of Yirat Shamayim to us, to our behavior, and a little bit of refinement in our midot to be a little bit more humble and more God-fearing. And needless to say, to serve Hashem with a whole heart and to do Hashem's will, because Hashem, that's His will. And Chas v'Shalom, not to ever go against my lineage or anything that the Torah is representing.